Good morning. As Martin mentioned, I called a little audible and I wanted to make a little change. Last week we started a series on mission and we were in the book of Acts, and I was actually going to be continuing to preach through Acts for the next few weeks as the mission team was getting ready to go. But I did want to kind of call this audible and make this change. As some of you know, I preach in the TM from time to time, and so I was preaching in the TM this morning, and in my time there, we've been going through the book of James. We hit James chapter 2 today, which is a really, really important passage about partiality, what James calls partiality. It's about division. And so because I was preaching on it in the TM, I felt like I wanted to preach it here for us also so that the entire church could hear it. Usually I don't do the same sermon because I know we have some overlap, and I know some of you who were here today were here earlier, so I'm sorry, you have to hear it twice. But I did want to make sure, this is one of those things that we've had a lot of things happening in our church over the last couple years, and so I wanted to look at God's word to try to see how God wants us to address it. And so that's the reason why I wanted to do this today. And if the morning told me anything, it is kind of a hard message to hear. It's challenging. It was kind of challenging me, and hopefully it does challenge us as a church. But we're in James chapter 2 today. Like I said, little special thing today. And we did James a few years ago, and if you just kind of remember, just to give you a sense of what James is about, James is a very unique person. He's not one of the 12 apostles, not the James mentioned there. He's actually half-brother of Jesus. Through Jesus' ministry, he didn't follow Jesus in the way that the disciples did. He actually didn't believe Jesus when Jesus went around. I mean, what brother would believe you if you went around saying you're the Messiah, right? James didn't believe it. It was only after Jesus' resurrection that he came to faith. But he very quickly became a very important leader in the church. And when James is writing this letter, he's actually writing it not to a particular church. He's actually writing it to a region, to a handful of churches, and to basically a general group of Christians who he knows are going to read this. And essentially, he wants to address the problems that he knows are going on in the churches broadly, in Christians' lives broadly. So as we get into, just to give you a little, again, we did this a few years ago, but in James chapter 1, James starts out and he basically warns those who are reading, the churches and the Christians, that there are problems that they're going to experience, there's suffering they're going to experience that comes from outside the church. He talks about how, you know, they're going to face persecution and suffering and challenges and hardships, and all these things are from outside the church. When he gets to chapter 2, he gives a warning that not only are they going to face challenges and hardships from the outside, they're also going to experience challenges and hardships from the inside. That essentially there are going to be things that happen inside the church that are going to challenge them. And what he calls it partiality. But like I said, what partiality really is it's division. Now, the church is a great and wonderful place. There is, in a lot of ways, there's nothing like, there's no other organization, there's no other community group, there's nothing that is like the church in our world. The church is a very unique, it's a very wonderful, it's a great place, but it can also be a really hard place. It can also be, even though it's supposed to be a family, even though we talk about being brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes it's also a place of disagreement and conflict and heartache. And so that's what James wants to deal with. That's what he wants to address. And so as the Apostle James addresses this issue that's facing a lot of churches, this issue of partiality or division, we're going to see three things. First, we're going to see the reality of division. Second, we're going to see the reason for division, right? The reason why it's happening. And third, hopefully we'll see the solution to division. So first, the reality. Second, the reason. Third, the solution. So first, the reality of division. If you go to verses 1 through 4, James says this. He says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you sit over there or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? So James kind of launches into it, and essentially we see that there's a lot of problems. If we look at the early church, it's funny because I think a lot of times we look at the early church and we imagine the early church to be this perfect thing, right? That believers are getting along, that there's a common unity of faith and vision and belief. And a lot of that's true, but the early church also had a lot of problems. They faced a lot of issues. Some of them were from the outside. So, for instance, you know, as most of you know, the early church was mostly Jewish believers early on. It was Jewish people coming to faith. And as they came to faith, immediately as they came into the church, a lot of them were immediately rejected by the larger Jewish community. Some were rejected by their families. Most of them were rejected by the communities that they'd grown up in. And that was kind of a huge issue going on early on. Another issue that they faced from the outside is the early church faced persecution by the Roman authorities. And we talk about this all the time, but we see so many ways in which in the early church, Christians' faith was challenged by officials, by the government, that people were put to death, that there were these cycles of times of relative peace, but then intense persecution. And in a very broad way, society as a whole viewed this Christian movement, this early Christian movement, as basically this fanatical sect, right? These religious zealots, these crazy people. And in a lot of ways, they viewed Christians as the reason why the fabric of society was falling apart. Matter of fact, a lot of times what would happen is whenever there would be a downturn or something that would happen in society, a lot of people would point to the Christians and it would start up another cycle of persecution. The Christians are the reason why this is happening. The Christians are the reason why we're experiencing this. The Christians are the reason why, you know, our society is falling apart. And as I mentioned, it's not just these problems from the outside, but James kind of locks in on the fact that there are also problems coming from inside the church. And that was happening in the early church. The early church was also experiencing internal problems, internal issues. So for instance, if you go into the book of Acts, if you remember in Acts 6, we see the apostles elect for the first time a group of deacons. The reason why they have to elect deacons is because there's something going on in the church. There's a division going on. And the division is primarily race. There's racism going on essentially. You know, what's happening is you have Jewish believers and you have Gentile believers, and they're not being treated the same way. Right? At the very heart of it, it's that Jewish believers, their widows are being taken care of, but Gentile widows, their widows are not being taken care of. And it's falling clearly along these racial lines. And so the church leaders decide that they need to do something, and so they select deacons who can make sure that everyone gets taken care of. But that's one of the early things we see, is we see this, that the race is a line of division for the early church. We also see in some churches that it's belief. If you look at the Galatian church that we studied a little while ago, there was a division over the Jewish law, the way that they believed, viewed the Jewish law and thought, you know, how you're supposed to respond to the Jewish law. That was a huge divide. In the church in Corinth, this was a church that was divided about a lot of different things. It was probably the most severe dysfunction, the severe division out of all the churches that we see in the New Testament. And if you look at their division, they divided over spiritual gifts, they divided over leadership, and basically what it tells us is that they fought over basic ideas about the church and about leadership. They argued about who should lead and how the church should be run. And so to that, James says in verse 1, he says, show no partiality, because they were playing favorites. They were divided. And the thing that he addresses wealth, but there are so many other divisions. They were treating some people better, they were treating other people worse, and it was along these lines. And you know, churches back then weren't perfect places, and they still aren't today. Unfortunately, they still aren't today. There are plenty of churches that have disagreements, that have differences, and sometimes those differences and those disagreements lead to hostility. They lead to division. I remember when I was starting out in the ministry, I went straight from college into seminary, and I remember when I got to seminary, I took my first position at a church, go down to Delaware and do youth ministry there. But I remember, you know, starting to do ministry, I remember thinking churches were these perfect places where everyone got along and everything went well and people loved each other and there was no issues. And it didn't take very long for me to realize it's not like that. That a lot of times it's really not like that. Hopefully there is love and there is a commonality and there is grace and there is faithfulness and there is community. But it didn't take me long to realize that things aren't always perfect. That in the church, even inside the church, sometimes things are broken. That inside the church, sometimes people don't get along. That there are divisions. That sometimes there are hostilities. You know, over the years, I've seen people leave church because of that, because they've been hurt, because they've been mistreated, because they've been marginalized. I've seen kind of those dynamics in play. And basically, that's what James wants to recognize first, is that there is a reality that we need to face, right? That no church is perfect. But these are the things we need to understand and guard against. So that's the first thing we see, is we see the reality of division. Second thing we see is we see the reason for division. James labels what he considers the issue, and he calls it partiality. He says in verse 1, show no partiality. I want to pick up in verse 4 and go down to verse 7, and this is what he has to say about this issue. In verse 4, he says, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich ones the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? Now, you know, James is recognizing that there's this issue going on with the church that's dividing some churches, and it's this issue of partiality. And for many churches, it's over this issue of wealth. In the early church, the people who first started coming to faith were poor people who are marginalized, poor people who are in need. They were the ones who heard the gospel message and responded to the gospel message first. Over time, the church saw wealthier people convert, wealthier people come into the church. And what James is addressing is, as richer people were coming into the church, they were being treated differently. They were being given a different level of attention. They were given better places to sit, better treatment, better preferences. And essentially, all of the class divides that were in society were now making their way into the church. And, you know, for James, it was this issue of wealth. But like I mentioned, you know, for the other churches that we were talking about, it wasn't just wealth that was an issue of division. You know, in the churches in Acts early on, it was race. Race was an issue of division, whether you're a Gentile Christian or whether you're a Jewish Christian. In Corinth, it was over opinions. It was over who should lead and how should the church be run. But in all those different cases, whether it's wealth, whether it's race, whether it's opinions, whether it's beliefs, whether it's about leadership, whatever it is, in all those cases, there were different groups within the church that were fighting. There were different groups within the church that were at odds. There were different groups that each felt that its group was better. Its group was right. Its group was more important. And they treated the other group as being wrong, as being unimportant, as being unspiritual. Now, here's the thing that I think James wants us to understand, and here's what we need to understand. The problem in all those situations isn't that they disagreed. Right? It isn't that they had different opinions. It isn't that they were different in terms of their social upbringing or their status or their class. Right? The issue is they turned differences into division, into divides. In other words, they treated people better or worse based on those differences. Right? That you, if you were of the same race, they would treat you better or worse. If you had the same opinion, they would treat you better. If you didn't have the same opinion, they'd treat you worse. And if you listen to verse 3, James says, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place while you say to the poor, you stand over there, right? You're making a distinction. And this is the interesting part is when you get into verse 4, he boils it down and says, this is what's happening. He says, have you then not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? What he's saying is this. He's saying there are many things that are different about us, many things we disagree about. The problem is when you start treating people differently, when you start treating people worse based on that. Right? He says, when you treat people better because they agree with you, when you treat people worse because they don't agree with you, when you treat people better because they're the same race as you, when you treat people worse because they're a different race, when you treat people better because they're rich, when you treat people worse because they're poor, when you gossip or slander against people you don't like, say that they don't love the church, you know, all those different things, he says, you're acting as a judge. And not a good judge, you're acting as a judge with evil thoughts. Right? Sociologists say that there's this very powerful thing that we do when it comes to people and viewing ourselves. They say that what we do is when we meet people, when we're around people who have different opinions, who have different background, who have different anything, it's easier for us to treat them as enemies than to try to understand them. Whenever we meet people who are different than us, different race, different social status, different opinions, different beliefs, whenever we meet people who are different, it's easier to treat them as an enemy than to try to understand them. And essentially, that's kind of what's going on. James isn't saying that the problem is we disagree. He's saying the problem is when we disagree, we treat each other like enemies. When we disagree, we're harsh with the people we disagree with. We put them down, we push them out. We don't want that. We think that they're unimportant, that they're useless. And here's the thing. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't feel like that. Right? If you're a Christian, right, the people that you feel that way about are actually your brothers and sisters in Christ. Right, the people that you feel like that about are actually people who have been loved and saved through Jesus' own blood. And to treat them that way is to trample on God's grace. Right, you may not like them, you may not agree with them, but James says that you are to treat them on the basis of God's grace, not on their skin color, not on their beliefs, not on their opinions. We're not supposed to judge them, that we are to love and serve them as family, that we are to accept and embrace them because God has accepted and embraced them too. I remember when I was a youth pastor, I remember early on when I started seminary, I started doing youth ministry at a particular church. I remember I would have this thought once in a while, and this thought was like, doing youth ministry, there were a lot of kids that I got along with. There were some kids that were tougher, but I would just have this thought of, boy, if this kid would leave, that would make things so much easier. You know, gosh, if this kid would leave or if this family would leave, then doing ministry here would be so much easier. It's so much better. I mean, this person causes so many problems and they're so hard to minister to, so hard to deal with. And that thought, that desire, that attitude took a long time for me to work through. I mean, you could probably make the case I'm still working through it, but, you know, all of us have that. We have this thing where we want to judge people. You know, I've seen plenty of churches over the years that have had this problem, where there's different people or different opinions or different things going on, and the church isn't divided over that. I've seen churches where there are different people, different opinions, disagreements, but they can still love each other. They can still serve each other. I've seen churches that there's huge disagreements, but they can still serve together even through those different opinions, even through those different viewpoints. And what they do is they treat each other as important. They treat each other as valuable even though they're different. They've learned to treat each other according to God's grace. And at the same time, I've seen other churches that are deeply divided, where there's disagreements, where there's differences, and those groups don't want to talk to each other. They don't want to be around each other. They want the other group to leave. And these churches, they weren't families. They didn't love one another. They didn't see God's grace in other people. Matter of fact, I know one church that the situation was so severe that on Sunday mornings, because of things that had happened and because it was so severe, they would have policemen actually come into the church on Sunday just to stand guard to make sure nothing happened inside the church. And you know, like, every time I think about that, it makes me chuckle, but it also makes me realize, like, that's not that different. James is saying the problem isn't that we disagree. The problem is that sometimes when we disagree, then we hate. And it's the hatred that causes the division, right? That we're unwilling to show grace to one another. We're unwilling to treat each other according to God's grace. So that's the second thing that we see, is we see the reason for the division. The reason isn't that we have different opinions. The reason is that we take those differences and we divide over them. We treat people differently. We treat people with contempt. We hate. So that's the second thing. The third thing that we see here is James does give us a solution, and hopefully this is kind of a good way to end so that we have some hope and some possibilities in the things that we see. But I think what James gives us, he gives us three things that we can do, three solutions to division. The first one is this. The first part of fixing the division is, first, we need to change our perspective. If you go to verses 5 and 6, James says, "Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich ones the ones who oppress you, the ones who drag you into court?" Now, if you notice, this issue about wealth, what James does is he turns it upside down. He says, you give the rich people these great places. You say, sit here in this place of honor. And you say to the poor person, sit here in this terrible place. Sit here at my feet. But he says, but hasn't God chosen the poor people to be rich in faith? And aren't the rich people the ones who cause you trouble? And you see, if you notice what James is doing, he's trying to change their perspective. He's trying to show them that the way that they're treating people, the way that they view people, is not the way God views them. That when they look at someone who's rich, they think, oh, here's someone who can benefit me. Or here's someone who's like me. Here's someone that I would like to be like. Or here's someone that if they're here, then they'll make things better. Right? They're important. And here are these other people that they're not very important. What James says, he says, that's not the way God sees it. Right? That's not the way God sees it. And so I think one of the things we have to do is we need to change our perspective. Right? We favor people a lot of times either because they are like us in some way, same opinion, same upbringing, same something, or we think that they can do something for us. And you know, God says that you need to see those people the way that he sees them. And I think when we look at people through the lens of God's perspective, we see that they're brothers and sisters in Christ, right? That they're family, that they're loved, that they're important, and we need to see them that way. If you don't, then you're going to despise people who aren't like you. You're going to despise people who have different opinions than you. Second thing that we can do, first is we need to change our perspective. Second thing that we need to do is we need to repent of our partiality, repent of our favoritism. If you go to verses 8 and 9, he makes this very, very clear, and he says it this way. He says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. If you notice, James brings up the commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, and he calls it the royal law. Right? What he's doing is he's trying to put it in the strongest way possible, that when you treat some people better because they agree with you or because they're like you, and when you treat other people poorly because you don't agree with them, because they're not like you, you're breaking the law of God. Right? You're sinning. That's what he's saying. There's kind of no way to get around that. And it's this very harsh way that James is pointing out that division comes from sin. It doesn't come from preference. It doesn't come from personality. Division comes from sin. And if it comes from sin, then we need to repent of it. It says that we're sinning when we treat some people this way and other people that way simply because we agree or don't agree with them. It's sin when we treat some people this way and some people that way because they're like us or unlike us. It's sin when we treat some people as being spiritual or some people as unspiritual because of those same things too. And he says, you're breaking the law, the royal law, love your neighbor. And so that's the second thing we need to do, is we need to start repenting of favoritism. We need to start repenting of the ways that we are treating people. The third thing, and this is the most important, is down in verse 13. Let me read verse 13, I need to explain it. He says, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. If you remember, he says that when we treat people poorly and create these divisions, we're acting as judges. So now he says, judgment is without mercy to those who show no mercy. This mercy is kind of an important part, and this idea of judgment is important. And basically, he's doing a couple things. James is first telling us that when we are acting in ways that are judgmental or critical, it's really a spiritual problem, right? He's saying it's a spiritual problem. He says judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. He's saying all of these things about division and being divisive is a spiritual problem, when you're being divisive in the way that you treat people, embracing some people, rejecting other people, it's a spiritual problem. And essentially, directly, he says, it may be because you haven't really experienced the mercy of the gospel. Right? Right? It may be because you haven't experienced fully the mercy of the gospel. Right? If you're loving with the people who agree with you and harsh with the people who don't, it may be because you think you're mature, you think you know the gospel well, but you really don't. This is kind of my experience, and I think it fits with what James is saying. But in my estimation, in my experience, the people who are the most divisive within a church tend to be the most immature. They tend to be the most insecure. For the people who are the most divisive, they're the people who can't handle different opinions. They're the people who can't handle disagreement. They have when you express a different opinion, they look at you and they say, who could ever believe that? Right? How can anyone think like that? Right? That's how they kind of act. The most divisive people tend to be the most immature. They tend to be the most insecure. And that means that a lot of times they lash out or they argue or they demand that everyone has to agree with them. And it's not because they're mature. It's not because they know God well. It's actually the opposite. It's because they're immature. And here's the sad thing. I've met pastors like this. I've met pastors who come in and essentially say, they demand that everyone does what they say. Everyone has to toe the line. Everyone has to do the things that they say, and no questions asked, right? No one can question them. That's not Christ-like at all, right? Where do we see Christ doing any of these things? Right? Christ doesn't argue. He doesn't treat people poorly because they don't agree with him. He doesn't shout people down. He doesn't demand that everyone has to do everything he says without question. I've met pastors like this. Essentially, what James says in verse 13 is, he says, if you really understand what Christ did for you, when you really understand the mercy that you've received from him, then you become merciful. Right? When you know the mercy that you've received from Christ, you become merciful. Right? When you know that Jesus came to love you, that he died for your sins, not because you were good, but because you were bad, then you become merciful towards others. You know, one of my favorite passages, Romans 5:8, says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And what that passage means is that Jesus comes, even though we are spiritually in this eternal disagreement. What it means to be a sinner means to be a rebel. It means to be in rebellion towards God. It means to be divided, separated from God. And yet what the gospel is Jesus came to reach across that divide, to love, to rescue you, and to redeem you. And if you know that Jesus rescued you even though you were divided from him, then you then become able to love those that you feel divided from. You're able to love people that you disagree with. You're able to reach across and bring them in. You know, what James is saying, he's not saying that inside the church we all have to agree. James is not saying that inside the church, if someone has a different opinion, we have to say, okay, fine, you know, you're right, I'll take your word for it. He's not saying that either. James recognizes that there are disagreements. He recognizes there are differences, but he's saying that the gospel should teach us how to accept people even when we're different, even when we disagree. That the gospel is the one thing that can show us how to be different, how to have different opinions, but still love and serve one another, because that's what Jesus did for us. Jesus came to love and serve us even though we were full-heartedly in rebellion towards him. And when you know that when you've experienced that kind of mercy, when you've experienced that kind of love, then you can give that to other people. Let's pray. And Father, you know all the ways that we need to hear and deal with a passage like this, a passage that shows us that there is hostility, that there is not just disagreement, but division in our hearts. And that's not for the other group, that's for each and every one of us to wrestle with. And we also know, Lord, that things don't change quickly and immediately, but we do pray that things change. We ask you, just for each of us in our own seats and our own places in our lives, to show us the love that we have received from Jesus Christ, the mercy that we've been given through Jesus Christ. And as we understand that, begin to grow in us a capacity to love and to serve others, to heal the divides. And in healing the divides, Lord, to honor you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.